And thank you, church, for your prayers. I will now commence my journey up the staircase. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I've arrived. Thank you. Thank you for being patient. Are you well?
Yes.
That's good. I'm excited to share this morning, but I did want to pray for something that I felt during worship, and I know we're joking and we'll get back to the jokes soon, but I did want to pray for something quite serious this morning. Just during worship, before we really entered into worship, I was praying and I felt the Lord say that there might be one person or maybe a couple people here this morning and they're living under the weight of a curse. And I felt the Lord say, I've come to break the curse this morning. And it was very interesting because then Jen proceeded to lead worship and declare in the name of Jesus in that song and then got us to put our hand over our head. And I believe some people have already experienced freedom, but I just want to seal that work in prayer this morning. Is that cool? Can we do that together, church? So just seated where you are, can we just lift our hands to heaven as a sign of openness and receptiveness to God and what He wants to do? Maybe there might be someone here today and you're very aware of the weight of a curse maybe on your life and you need freedom, but there could be someone here today and you're unaware of it, but you've been coming up against the same repetitious problems for a long time. And I just believe and declare today that the Lord wants to set you free. So in the name of Jesus, I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you would fall upon your people, that you would touch them from the inside out, and you'd deliver them from any curse, from any declarations of witchcraft or curses over their life. And we thank you for freedom. Right now, in the name and authority of Jesus Christ, I command every curse to be reversed and to be lifted off of your life in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that your blood right now, the blood of Jesus, washes over them anew and afresh this morning. We thank you, Lord, and we declare healing in the name of Jesus. Healing in the name of Jesus. And I come with authority this morning to bind and break any effects of witchcraft on people's lives. The spirit of witchcraft, I bind you and break your power today over these people. And I thank you, Lord, that you'd fill them with the Holy Spirit, that the anointing would come upon them right now in this moment, and that the word of God would bring truth into their hearts today. And we love you, Jesus, and we thank you for your freedom. And everyone said, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Thank you. Well, yes, I'm very excited to be getting married next weekend. And excited, we're going on a honeymoon in Thailand. And so I've never been to Thailand before. I'm very excited. I've got a few bucket list goals of things I want to do in Thailand. I was telling the youth at the tribe on Friday night, one of those things is to eat like traditional pad Thai. I'm so excited for some traditional pad Thai. One of the resorts we're staying at, we get a couple of free massages. That's another thing. I'm excited for some free massages. And hopefully as well, the third thing I'm really hoping we get to do is maybe ride an elephant, or if we don't get to ride it, at least wash an elephant or something with an elephant would be awesome. And I said to the tribe on Friday night, I said, how cool would it be if I could get a photo of myself fulfilling all three bucket list goals in the one photograph? Maybe riding an elephant face down with a Thai person sitting on my back giving me a massage and eating out of a bowl of pad Thai. That would just be incredible. I'll put it up on the screen in 3 weeks' time when we return. So pray for me that that would happen. Amen. Well, today we're going to talk, considering it is a family Sunday, done some baby dedication, a baby dedication this morning. By the way, the cutest baby. Oh my gosh, she is gorgeous. We're going to do some baptisms later after the service today as well. And I just want to preface this. Today, in this message, I want to talk to you about the beauty and the power of baptism. And I want to bring an invitation for you. If anyone is here today and you're feeling stirred in your heart to be water baptized, but you haven't been baptized yet, If you want to be brave, you're very, very welcome and invited to join us in baptism after the service today. We will find a spare towel for you, and you're welcome to join us in baptism if you feel led after the service today. If not, but you're still feeling stirred and you want to be baptized, maybe not this week, but maybe you want to invite some family for the following week, we can arrange something in the weeks to come for you to be baptized, because we believe in the power and the beauty of baptism. Amen? So there's an open invitation today. We have some people prepared, but then if you're unprepared and you want to join in, come and join in, all right? Well, this morning, Holy Spirit, we thank you for your word. I pray that you would lead us and guide us today. Let your anointing be on this message. And I pray, Lord, I know in my own flesh, I cannot reveal the power and the mysteries of Scripture, but I pray that your anointing would come upon me today and come upon your listeners, that we would be revived and refreshed by the Word of God. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, in talking about baptism, my intentions and my prayer leading into this Sunday is that if you have been water baptized before, that something would be stirred in your spirit today, that you would remember and by faith take hold of that power that was at work in you, that it would continue in you today. My prayer is also that if you haven't been baptized, but you've been following Jesus for a long time, that there would be something within you that would recognize the importance of this act of faith and that you would consider being baptized. And then for those who don't know Jesus or who are still on a journey to know and be in a relationship with Jesus Christ, that this would explain to you some of the beauties and the importance of a relationship with Christ. So I'm so excited. First of all, I want to start by talking about life in the kingdom of God. See, Jesus, when he came to the earth, he said, the kingdom of God is here. It's among you. Jesus came to establish and to advance the kingdom of God across the earth. His kingdom, his way of life, his way of living, that the Spirit of God would fill the believers across the earth to this day to continue to advance God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And when Jesus came to establish the kingdom, some things changed in the religious belief of the Jewish people. There are some things that started to shift and change, and one of those things is that it wasn't about a bunch of religious sacrifices, but a lot of things that were new and established was that it was done by faith now in the Son of God. So something changed when Jesus brought the kingdom. I love the scripture in Acts chapter 2. So if you want to read with me, you can. If you have a Bible, you want to open it up, it should be on the screens as well. Acts chapter 2 verse 42 talks about some of the things that had changed as believers started to put their faith not in religion and not in laws, but now put their faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. I'm going to read it on the screens here. It says this, and they, being the believers and the disciples, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. So just in that scripture alone, you can see some things that we do here today at church. I want to talk to you about what it means really to be a part of a kingdom community, be a part of the church. Some things you see here. You see teaching. What are we doing right now? We're bringing teaching in the Word of God. Another thing we see here is fellowship. You know, after the service, we have tea and coffee. We have a new friend's morning tea today. We have fellowship, but not just that. We have connect groups that meet during the week. We have opportunities for people to grow in the Word of God, but also to grow in relationship with one another, to be accountable to one another, to be challenged, to be spurred towards growth in God. And so we have fellowship as a church. Then you see the breaking of bread and to prayer. You know, the breaking of bread is, yes, sharing a meal with one another. I love it when people invite me over to dinner. And I often say yes when I get like two opportunities to have dinner. I often say yes to who I think is the better cook. And I love going over to dinner at my friends' houses because thank God, Jen is an amazing cook. And so, look, if you invite me over to dinner and Alyssa over to dinner, but Jen invites me as well, I will say next week and I'll go to Jen's first because I know she's an amazing cook. That's not offensive. That's just facts. Okay. The breaking of the bread and the prayer is sharing a meal, but also we practice the breaking of bread in Holy Communion, where we remember the sacraments of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Then we see prayer, and obviously we pray. Let's read on. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. We believe as a church in signs, wonders, and miracles. Pastor Rob mentioned that this morning. Signs, wonders, and miracles. Verse 44, all the believers were together and had everything in common. Here is practice unity. Do you know sometimes we disagree about certain things or certain methods, but you know what we can agree about is our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. There are some times where I disagree with Alyssa, but we both agree that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior, and we will establish our faith and unity on that ground. There are some times I disagree with Pastor Rob, but we walk together in brotherly unity because I believe he is my leader, he is my pastor, he is the apostle that God has positioned in my life, and I will humble myself and serve him in unity in the fact that we agree Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of this church. Amen? So they practiced unity. They had things in common. Verse 45, they sold property and possessions to give to one another who had need. You know, as a church, we practice taking up tithes and offerings. We practice giving to the kingdom of God. We practice giving to missions and the work God's doing overseas, like you saw in that video of Josh and Belinda in Lesotho. We practice giving. I practice tithing to the church. 10% of what I earn weekly, I give back to the kingdom of God in the church. And I know that if I give to God what is God's, that he will look after me. See, my finances are not my finances. I am simply a steward of what God has given to me. And when you live as a steward, God will continually bless you as you be a blessing to others. I hold my finances loosely because they are not my own. They are all for his because I live for as a living sacrifice to him. And we believe that as a church. Here's the thing. Some people get a bee in their bonnet. I was going to say a bee in their barnacle. I don't know what that is. Let's start using that term. Some people get a bee in their barnacle about tithing because they don't like giving their money away. Well, let me tell you, friends, lucky you're not a part of the early church because you were expected to sell your house and give to people in need. I haven't seen too many people sell their house, but I do hear of men and women of faith who, instead of selling their car, choose to give it away to a family who doesn't have a vehicle. I've heard stories being a part of this awesome church family of people who did sell their house and on the profit that they made, chose to go to someone they knew was in need in the church and say, hey, I want to give you a portion of what we made on this property because we believe in God's plan for your life and we want to bless you. Praise God for a generous church. But don't get a bee in your barnacle about giving 10% because in the early church, it was expected you would give up everything to follow Jesus. I think we need to get back to that level of faith where we say, Lord, what I own is not my own. It's all for the kingdom of God. And I believe that if I gave in faith, you would provide for me in faith. Amen? So we believe in this as a church. They gave and sold possessions and property to give to anyone in need. Verse 46, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Some people are like, oh my gosh, I can't meet every Sunday. That's too much. I need a Sunday off. They met every day in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Amen. That's beautiful. So this is like life in the kingdom of God, life in kingdom community. And something I read about in the scriptures is Jesus actually gives us a key on how to enter into this new life, how to enter into the kingdom of God, full of signs, wonders, and miracles, but also full of sacrifice and provision and trusting in the Lord. And what he says here, so how do you know how to enter the kingdom of God? Many people know about the kingdom of God, but very few know how to access the kingdom of God. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 3, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless you are born of water and of spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. So he says you must be born again, and you must be born of water, which we call the baptism of water, the burial of the old nature. And you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit, which is that resurrection new nature. We believe that as a church, righteousness is a gift that we receive by grace, by faith in His grace, sorry. And when you are born again by water and spirit, we believe that we receive the gift of being right with God through faith in Jesus Christ. And righteousness, I like to think of it like this. I've heard preachers say this before. Righteousness then becomes your new surname. Jesus Christ the righteous calls you by your new name. John the righteous, Rob the righteous, Denise the righteous. Righteousness is applied to you by faith in his grace, and baptism is a means of joining with Christ in that new life. I want to share with you a little bit about my baptism story, because I feel like I have a very interesting baptism story. You know, I've believed in God and in the existence of God ever since I was a little demon, cherub. Ever since I was a little cherub, I believed in the existence of God. I remember sometimes getting the opportunity to go to church on Christmas and Easter and special occasions. And Dad wasn't a very good Christian, so he didn't take me to church often when we were younger. But Nanda did. Thank God Nanda took me to church. And you know what? I love and respect people and churches that preach Jesus Christ as the hope and the Savior of humanity. Even though we might have different opinions, I'm grateful that Nanda took me along to Catholic Church when I was young and little, because I got to learn about Jesus Christ. And I went every now and then. But in my high school years, Dad and my stepmom Tony moved away, and I didn't really have many good examples in my life at that time of what it meant to follow Jesus. And so I had some feral years through high school. And believing different things and following different people and getting involved in things that I shouldn't have got involved in. But I remember visiting Dad and Tony in Cooktown, and while we were up there in Cooktown, Dad opened the scriptures with me one day after full-on roasting me and giving me the birds and the bees talk and being careful and all these sort of things. He opened the scriptures to me and said, the birds and the barnacles. He opened the scriptures to me, and we read a scripture just like we read in John chapter 3. Unless you were born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. And you know what? Conviction gripped my heart, because I was living contrary to the ways of Jesus. And I wanted to walk in the kingdom of God. I wanted to experience the newness of life. I wanted to experience the presence of God. But I knew that the way I was walking was not the way of Jesus. And I knew that something needed to change. And Dad said, Cain, if you want to really experience this new life found in Christ, you must be baptized. You must be born again. And conviction hit my heart. I went to bed that night and I was scared, not because of what Dad said, but because something was stirring within me that I was living outside of the will of God. I was being disobedient to God. And I knew something needed to change. In order for me to be obedient to the commands of Jesus Christ, I knew I needed to be baptized. And I remember calling my family and calling my mum back home and saying, Mum, I think I'm going to be baptized. And I remember her comment, because she didn't come to a church like this. She, when she was raised, she didn't really go to church often, but they believed in christening and baptizing infants and that sort of thing. And she said, but you've already been baptized. I don't understand. And I said, no. I might have been christened as a baby, but this time it's my choice. This time I want to make a decision by faith to join myself in the life of Jesus Christ. And I remember it was a confusing time, people didn't understand my decision, but I remember making that decision, and Dad and Tony took me to a caravan park pool in Cooktown, and some of the church friends and family from that town came out, and Dad shoved me under the water, and Pastor Rick Ashcroft was there. Some of you know Pastor Rick. He helped baptize me as well, and I remember the experience and the feeling I had. You know, it's not all about feelings, but I definitely did sense something changing in that moment as I applied my faith to what was happening. I had felt like, as I was under there, it's a bit hard to describe, but I'd probably describe it similar to like a snake skin coming off. You know how a snake gets out of its skin? I felt like some heaviness and some baggage and my sin and my past was like falling off me under that water. Apparently, it was a quick dip, but I felt like I was being held under there for a few seconds. But it was a good experience, and I felt something lift off me. I remember coming up out of that water and I felt a little bit shaky. I felt excited, but I felt fresh. I felt this buzz. I felt like my blood was like creaming soda, bubbling. Like I felt fresh and excited. And, And Dad and Pastor Rick prayed for me, and they prayed for an infilling of the Holy Spirit. And I started to feel a bit like energy, like surging through my body. I felt very excited and a little bit confused and didn't understand everything that was happening in that moment. But I remember going home that night and Dad saying, "Hey, I believe that when we prayed for you then, I believe you were filled with the Holy Spirit." And I said, "Really? What does that mean?" And he said, "Whoa, I believe you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And you should ask God for the gift of tongues. And before you go to bed, you should start speaking in tongues. You should practice speaking in tongues." So I remember sitting on the edge of my bed. And I said, "Well, Lord, I thank you for being filled with the Spirit. And I thank you, God, for the gift of speaking in tongues." And I sat on the edge of my bed. I didn't really know what to say. But I just started opening my mouth and doing what I heard other people do. And all of a sudden, as I just started practicing doing something I heard other people do, I felt something begin to rise within me. Faith began to arise within me. And then all of a sudden, my shabba turned into shakaraba. And over days and over weeks, this language started to develop in me of faith and of the Holy Spirit. And it was an exciting time. I remember after my baptism, reading the scriptures. See, before I was baptized, I struggled to engage with the scriptures and the Word of God. But I remember after being baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, I opened the scriptures and it was like beaming off the page to me. Things made sense that never used to make sense. Things were exciting that never used to be exciting, because I'm not just reading words on a page, but I've got the author of those words within me revealing them to me. And it was super exciting. Things started to shift in my life. This faith to believe for miracles started to happen. I remember praying for people and seeing miracles happen. Something shifted when I chose to give up my shame, to give up my own way of living and say, "You know what? I'm going to choose today to die to myself and live for Christ and be baptized." There's a few things I mentioned in that story. One is this: in order to be baptized, you don't have to understand everything. You don't have to understand everything. There's people in the scriptures who hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and this is simply all the requirements needed. One, that they would have faith in Jesus Christ as Lord. And two, that they'd be willing to repent of their sins and turn and face God and live a new life. Those are the simple only requirements. You don't have to understand a theological course on baptism. You don't have to. In the Bible, they didn't have a baptism course before people were baptized. You see Philip and the eunuch, and the eunuch hears the scriptures revealed and he hears the gospel of Jesus Christ and he goes, "What's stopping me from being saved right now? There's a lake, let's go." Do you know what? He wasn't ashamed about his church clothes or whatever he was wearing. He was probably wearing official clothes. But who knows? He just jumped in the water and said, "Let's go, let's be baptized." Baptism was not something that people did after 3 years of maturing in Christ and finally they were baptized. It was something that happened immediately after salvation for those who believe. It was an exciting part of the Christian journey. And we'll talk a little bit about that later on. Pastor Rob mentioned we don't believe in baptizing infants or babies because we do dedicate them to the Lord and pray for God's blessing on their life. But we don't believe that they're old or mature enough to make a decision of their own. And baptism has its power not just in going for a swim, but it has its power by applying faith to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And that's why we believe that when a child or an adult, a man or a woman, is mature enough to apply their faith to the act of baptism, something powerful happens in their life. Amen? I think to myself, why? Actually, I'll skip that part for the sake of time, because I'm excited to see some baptisms this morning. I want to share with you water baptism, what water baptism looked like in the Old Testament. Have you ever known that? Do you ever seen where water baptism applies in the Old Testament? Let's have a look at it here. First, we have the people of Israel. I'll mention this is the Old Covenant, not just the Old Testament. This is the Old Covenant. The Old Covenant is the old way of doing things, the old way people tried to connect with God. But Jesus came to establish a new road, a new path, a new way of life, a new covenant, a new agreement with God, a new relationship with God. So in the Old Covenant, this is how people connected. First, we have the baptism of Moses. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says this, "For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea." In the Old Testament, Jews were not required to get water baptized to join the faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Instead, shortly after birth, they would have a circumcision. And we see a shadow of water baptism mentioned in the Old Testament. Moses leading the nation of Israel through the Red Sea is a symbol of water baptism. In the Old Testament, all of these acts and all of these deeds are types and shadows, are symbols of what was to come when Jesus would enter the scene on the earth and would fulfill the old covenant. These are all types and shadows. And we see as Moses led the Israelites through the Red Sea, a type of baptism, leaving slavery behind them, that slavery mindset, and entering into a new land and a new relationship with God. Another type of water baptism we can see revealed in Noah's Ark. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 20 says, "To those who were disobedient long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, while the ark was being built, in it only a few people, eight in all, were saved through the water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Again, Noah's Ark, a symbol of what was to come when Jesus would enter the scene. Another form of baptism that is technically still in the Old Covenant but found in the New Testament is the baptism of John. Acts chapter 19, verse 3-4 says this, "And he said, into what were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism." Some believers said, "We were baptized into John's baptism." And Paul said to them, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus. But even John himself said, one is coming who is greater than me, and he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and in fire." So cool. Water baptism in the New Testament. Water baptism is the public declaration of a private decision. And so water baptism in the New Testament, we can see, I think not just water baptism, let's talk about baptism in general. That word baptize is the word baptizo, which actually means full immersion, or it actually means to be submerged or immersed in something. So when we're baptized into Christ, we're talking about being immersed into the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's pretty awesome. Being baptized, and when we talk about being baptized in the Holy Spirit, we're talking about being immersed into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so there's three types of baptism we see in the New Testament mentioned. Three that I see anyway. One is the water baptism into Jesus Christ, into his death, burial, and resurrection. That as we go under the water, some of you didn't realize that there's a water baptismal font right here. Some of you at the back may not see it. We put these up so that I don't fall in this morning. That's helpful, thank you. As we go into the water, we are representing the death of Jesus Christ, that he died for our sins, and that our sin and our old nature would be buried in the water. And that as we come up, it represents the resurrection of Christ in the new nature, in that new life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that those who are in Christ are a what? New creation. The old is gone. Behold, all things are made new. You know, after my baptism, sometimes I have been tempted to believe that I am still stuck as a slave to sin. And I have to remind myself that I was baptized into the life of Christ. The old is gone, the new has come. Sometimes you need to remind yourself that you were baptized into Christ. Some people say, "Well, I was baptized when I was 20 years old, but then I went away from the Lord and I feel like I need to be baptized again." By faith, apply your faith to the baptism you had when you were 20 years old and believe that the power of Christ that was operating when you were 20 is enough to bury the old nature and be resurrected with Christ. I have to remind myself of this. I have sinned since my baptism. Confession time. But I apply my faith to what was done in those waters. That by faith in the Son of God, I bury that old nature and I'm resurrected in the new nature of Christ. This is the power of water baptism, the baptism into Jesus Christ. Then the second baptism I see in the scriptures, in the new covenant, is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, it says that Jesus will baptize us in the Holy Spirit and in fire when we are immersed into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit within you is for you, but when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, it's for others. The baptism of the Holy Spirit fills you and surrounds you with the power of God in order to fulfill your purpose on the earth. But then the third baptism I see in the scriptures is the baptism of suffering. And this is an interesting one that you could look up in your own time. For the sake of time today, we won't go into it, but in Luke chapter 12, verse 50, it says this, Jesus says, "But I have a baptism to undergo, and what constraint I am under until it is completed." It was the baptism. It was the baptism of suffering. Matthew 10, verse 38 to 39 says this, "And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." This is why, as a church, we do preach on blessing, but we make sure that our people know that the Christian life is not one only of blessing. It is also one that requires sacrifice. A new life with Jesus is not one that is all sunshine and rainbows. It is one where you will sometimes have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death and be baptized through suffering. But we know in our suffering will be produced within us a glory which is greater than the suffering of the past days. Yeah. Romans 6, do we have that scripture, Romans 6? I'll end with that one this morning. Romans chapter 6, verse 1, it says this. Paul's writing, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? And we were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." Is there another one? "For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. The suffering you experience in this present age, we can rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that we will also experience a glory and a resurrection like his too. By faith today, we are going to baptize some people. I love it, it's exciting. And this is what Jesus says is an entry into the kingdom of God. You must be born of water and by the Spirit. I want you to consider today, if you've been following Christ and you believe in Christ for any number of time now, it is immensely important that you would apply your faith and be water baptized. Just like me, I believed in Jesus for a long time, ever since I was a little cherub. But just because I believed in him doesn't mean I was following him. For me, not to be baptized would be disobedient to the word of Jesus Christ. There is something exciting and powerful about baptism. I want to say this today. Baptism is not just symbolic. Baptism is powerful. Baptism is not just a symbol. Baptism is a powerful act of faith. And I believe when I put my faith in Jesus Christ as I was being baptized, something shifted within my life and a new life came forward. It was powerful and beautiful. And today, wherever you are, on this journey. If you have been baptized, praise God. I pray that today you would continue to apply your faith in what was done in those waters of baptism. But today, if you haven't been baptized, I want you to consider going to the info desk after service and signing up for our next baptismal service. If you're here today and you're like, I don't want to wait, I want to be baptized today, then I want to invite you. You're welcome to join us on stage today in this baptism. Pastor Ben's going to lead the baptismal service and he'll give you an invitation if anyone else wants to join, to come and join on stage. No pressure, just an invitation. And if you don't know Jesus today, then let me sum all of this up with this one statement. The beauty and the power of baptism is that Jesus didn't just die for you, he died as you, so that you could join, not just in his death, not just in his burial, but in the newness of life. Jesus today, if you don't know him and walk in relationship with him, Jesus today is inviting you to walk in the life of Christ. So can we pray today? Would you close your eyes and bow your heads? As we do that, you know, the early church, meaning the new believers around 2,000 years ago, they never did an altar call. They didn't raise their hand to believe in Jesus Christ. You know what was the sign of their new faith and their conversion? The sign was not them responding to an altar call. The sign was them getting up and being baptized. The sign was not a hand raised. The sign was going and finding water and finding a believer who's filled with the presence of God and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So today I am going to ask us to pray a prayer, but I also want you to consider acting in faith and pursuing baptism. So with every eye closed today, let's pray. Father, I thank you that since the beginning of time, you were painting this story of joining in the life of Jesus Christ. I pray today, Lord God, that by faith, the power and the beauty of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins and the newness of life, that power revealed in baptism would work within our hearts today. For those, Lord, who are feeling weak in their faith, I pray, Holy Spirit, fill them with faith and let faith arise this morning in the finished work of the cross of Jesus Christ. I thank you, God, that your blood is potent enough to wash us and set us free from being slaves to sin. And I thank you, Lord, that your resurrection and your spirit is strong enough to raise us up through any amount of adversity or suffering, through any amount of pain or affliction. Lord, I thank you that the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit is accessible by faith this morning. Today, Lord, I pray if there be anyone here today who does not walk with you, I pray, Lord, you reveal yourself to them. Show them your love and your grace. And may soon they be baptized and walk in the life of Jesus Christ.